Broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
From the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's Todd Starnes.
Yeah, well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of The Big Show. Great to have you with us, border to border, coast to coast. Want to welcome all of our listeners across the Fruited Plain. And by the way, we're getting very close to announcing what radio stations in Virginia will be broadcasting the Todd Starnes Radio Show live. That would be noon to 3 Eastern Eastern time. And we're very excited. I think 7 or 8 radio stations out in Virginia are going to be picking up the broadcast. So welcome to all of you. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, coming up a little bit later this hour, we're going to jump into this this report that I just shared with you. This information just coming to us, and I believe we had this as an exclusive. So we had two exclusives. Pastor John MacArthur on the verge of getting served a restraining order, and also this report out of Tennessee where parents in one school district are being required to sign a document promising they will not sit in on their child's virtual learning class. So if you're having an English class on Zoom, mom and dad are not allowed to be in the room. They're not allowed to eavesdrop. And a school district is now forcing parents to sign an agreement. Would you sign that agreement? Would you abide by the school district's rules and regulations banning you from sitting in your own home watching your child be educated? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. We're going to be taking your calls on that in just a little while. But right now, I want to go back to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. We've been telling you a lot about Pastor Rob McCoy, great American patriot, fine man of God. He is the pastor of Godspeak Calvary Chapel Church, and he is on the Newsmaker line. Pastor, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Todd. Good to be with you.
Well, I tell you, Pastor, I'm just so impressed with the way you have conducted yourself over the past several weeks. I have to imagine you've been under a lot of pressure, but you still have joy in your heart, and that certainly comes across in how you're conducting yourself.
Well, thank you, Todd. I do have joy. I was cracking up because as you were announcing the breaking news of Pastor John getting served, I got served yesterday, and that was my second set of papers. So I'm getting ready for my contempt trial.
Well, that's what we want to talk about. I know you got joy in the heart, but you may be going to jail very soon. I do want to talk about that. And, of course, the breaking news, Pastor MacArthur, the Los Angeles County, sent a letter announcing their intent to seek a restraining order, and they're going to be in court tomorrow. So, Pastor, give us an update. What's happening with you and your congregation, those 1,000 John Does?
Yeah. So L.A.'s doing to Pastor John what Ventura did with us. They found an attorney to go and find a judge who will issue an emergency temporary restraining order, and then when we violate it as pastors, then they'll come after us for contempt. And then that way with the judge, they'll be able to see if they can get armed law enforcement personnel to come and shut us down. Our law enforcement doesn't want to do that. And they were dreading if the county had been able to accomplish that, these supervisors. So we are in contempt. We violated that order last Sunday. We've been wide open, no mask, no social distancing since May 31st. And we haven't had a single case of COVID. We've got ionizing machines and UV lights, so we take care of it. But, you know, we have done 133 hours of live stream since the lockdown began, and our folks are educated. We've had no less than 7 doctors, 2 psychologists. We've looked at the data. And real quick, Todd, last part, our county, the death rate for this, 850,000 people live in our county. The death rate is 1/100th of 1%. And in the zip code where we reside, where our church is located, in the last 14 days, we've had the lowest number of positive test cases anywhere else in Ventura County, residentially speaking. So we're not hurting anybody. We're helping them.
So, Pastor, the judge refused to sign off on sending the sheriff's deputies to the church house.
Right.
But he did say that you know, the part against you could proceed. So what happens next?
Well, we've got the contempt hearing on August 21st. That's what I was served papers for. And the judge, you know, I was grateful. He asked me to educate my counsel on the second greatest commandment. He had referred to it, didn't state it, but I'm glad he invoked it. And I think what he was saying is that I need to love my neighbor, and that doing this is possibly not loving my neighbor. So I did instruct my counsel, and I did as the judge said, and I pointed out that loving your neighbor is not only caring for those that, you know, contract a virus that has a 99.8% survival rate, but loving your neighbor also means helping those who've been sequestered, who have been abused by their spouse or child abuse, that have had to sequester with their abuser, those who haven't been able to have testing because the hospitals are shut. And I just went down the list of how these draconian measures by our county have shut our businesses, released convicts into our streets, traumatized our children. And I'm fighting a government that's called loving your neighbor. And I'm committed to that. It's just there's other ways to love your neighbor. We're doing both.
Is there? Do you think the judge's question there? Do you think that was a sign of respect to you, or was he trying to basically lecture you about the Bible?
You know, I love hopes all things. Judge O'Neill, and I, having been the mayor of the city of Thousand Oaks and also council member, and working with our supervisors, and I know them. And I know many of the judges. I love hopes all things. And I know that Judge O'Neill is in a really tough spot. Nobody wants to be in the position he's in. And the supervisors have forced him to be in this position. And he's picking up from the other judge who did allow this temporary restraining order, Judge Wasko, who his was political and predictive. And Judge O'Neill is trying to clean up the mess. So I'm praying for him. I just did what he asked me to do, and I'm sure he'll find it helpful.
Well, I certainly hope so, but I don't think the judge was in that much of a tough fix here. I mean, the Constitution is pretty clear when it comes to freedom of religion and protecting religious liberty. Right. I'm wondering though, Pastor, about the supervisors. Is there something sinister going on here?
Well, the supervisor that kind of spearheaded, her name is Linda Parks. And, you know, when we had the borderline shooting where we lost 12 of our young people, and I was the mayor pro tem of the city, and we lost two of our congregants, I was with Supervisor Parks. She cared for the family. She was with them through the night. And then we had the fires rage through our community. And I was taken aback by her actions, and then only three of the five supervisors would vote for this. I don't know her faith, but I do know that she leans towards secular progressive, and she believes the data, and she's scared, and she's reacting to this data, and it's troublesome. And I fault not so much the supervisors as I do the county health official, Dr. Robert Levin. Every prediction he's made is wrong, and he's paralyzing our communities with fear, and he's in this position of power that it's awful. And his elected officials, they just get beat up because everyone's complaining. So I'm trying to navigate. Yeah, there's violations of constitutional rights all over the place in California. They don't even recognize it for the most part. We have Governor Gavin Newsom. So we're struggling, Todd. But everything at the end of the day is relational. I'm trying to build a community, and people aren't the enemy; they're the opportunity.
No, Pastor, I get that, but for me, you're a very gracious man, but I'm telling you, everybody has a choice to make, and the fact is, it's those supervisors who went after you and asked the judge to go after you. It's the judge. It's the judge who allowed this to proceed. It's the other judge who agreed to that we need to have a hearing on whether or not you were in contempt. Any one of those people could have stood up to the health department and to, as you so eloquently said, Governor Gavin, what is it,
Governor Mussolini.
I love it. But any one of them could have stood up, Pastor. Any one of them could have, and they did not. You are the only person and your congregation who are taking a stand on the Constitution.
I kind of look at it like they've done us a favor. You know, Todd, 65% of Americans don't believe the church is essential because the church doesn't think it's essential. And politicians are just actors performing a script written by the audience. And the church abdicated that script writing a long time ago when they don't participate in politics anymore. And so we're getting what we deserve. And it's a gift from God because these guys have created this script to bring at least compassion and understanding back to the church. And we have an opportunity to stand. I don't fault the judge. He's been elected by people who, you know, that they're politicians performing a script written by the audience, Russell Kirk. What I do fault is, where are the other churches? We're picking on a judge, but where's the moral fiber of the nation? Stand up, brothers. Push back. Educate your people. That's where I find the onus. If my people who are called by my name, not judges.
I got to tell you, Pastor, I would love to see what's going to happen on Election Day. And I certainly hope the Christians, just the Christians in California, wake up and realize what these Democrats have been doing. I mean, you guys are under the thumb of a supermajority of Democrats. It might be interesting to see if they're willing to give the Republicans a shot at trying to fix what they've broken.
I'm watching as Christians are rising. I'll give you an example. When we opened the church, the congregants and visitors up to 1,000 would be given a citation, a misdemeanor, which is like a drunk driving. It goes on your record. If you're an NROTC scholarship student, you could lose that. And people were concerned if you had a concealed carry permit, you'd lose that. This is a serious violation. Well, when we got to church that morning, there was a church that drove 2 hours to our location, and their congregation surrounded our church in order to receive those citations so that our people could worship freely.
Wow. Wow.
Now, that's the body of Christ. There are pastors out there rising. And, you know, I'm watching Pastor John MacArthur, and Jack Hibbs and I have been doing this since May 31st. We've been wide open, another number of other churches.
You know, he's a friend of yours, by the way. He was on the show yesterday. He said nice things about you.
Well, there's a joke that goes around. I was a sheriff's chaplain, and the fire department says the reason why God made firemen is so that police officers could have heroes too. And God made Jack Hibbs so everybody could have a hero.
You know, real quick, Pastor, because our time is quickly expiring here, and we would love to get you back on the program. We had Franklin Graham on the show, and he asked us to convey a message that he is supporting you, and they are doing whatever is necessary and willing to do whatever is necessary to help you guys out. We have to imagine the legal bills are going to be costly, but you've got the support of probably one of the most influential evangelists in America.
Oh, praise the Lord. And I have to tell you, folks have been praying for us, and we've been navigating these waters, and God is faithful. And God, thank you. Just getting the voice out there so it can be heard. I'm so grateful for you. Thank you for doing that.
Pastor, we're happy to do it, and you just let us know what we can do, and we will do it. That's what we do here on this radio program. I can bring a toothbrush and be on the next flight out to California. Happy to share a cell with you if need be.
God bless you. Or bake me a cake with a file, whatever works.
All right. Pastor,
I'll keep you posted every step of the way.
Please do. All right. Pastor Rob McCoy, ladies and gentlemen, who is the pastor at Godspeak Calvary Chapel Church. He is engaging in his constitutional rights as an American citizen, the pastor of a mega church. This man could be going to jail, and we need to support this man and his congregation. We've got to take a break. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
By the way, folks, we will have both interviews with Jenna Ellis, the attorney for John MacArthur, also Pastor Rob McCoy. We're going to have those on our website after the program. You can get those free of charge. Just download the Todd Stearns Show podcast. All right, let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Been a while since we've checked in with our good friend, Joe from Ella J, Georgia. Hi, Joe. What's happening in the North Georgia mountains?
Todd, you're great. Well, the great things happen. Marjorie Greene, who you had on your show, I think she's going to be the AOC on our side. She's incredible. President Trump called her when she won her primary victory this Tuesday and said that she was going to be a star. And Todd, she will work to make your show. She's crazy about you, and she's got a tremendous amount. Young people love her. I predict someday she'll be president of the United States. And I think Marjorie Greene and Donald Trump will team together to be the two best taxpayer and small business champions and friends of the taxpayers in history. And I just want to tell you that I would recommend having her on your show, because I think she's going to be the most popular woman in Congress as soon as she gets to Washington, because she's articulate, she's extremely intelligent, she has a successful business background like Donald Trump, and she's a superstar, and I think she would be a superstar for the great Todd Stearns radio show, which is going to lead us to a huge landslide win for Donald Trump November the 3rd.
Well, we're certainly hoping for that, Joe. And, of course, Marjorie Greene, it was interesting. The national media has labeled her the QAnon candidate. It's just crazy how these leftists out there are slandering Republican candidates.
Well, she's great. She's not a racist. She's a wonderful person. She came to LJ over a year ago. Everybody loves her there. The young people, Todd, absolutely adore her. She's just incredible. And the young people in my leadership class at Poole's Barbecue, they all love her. And I predict someday she'll be president of the United States. And I'm a strong supporter. And she loves Todd Stearns. And Todd, she loves your show. And I think it's going to be interesting to watch what she and Donald Trump do as a team.
All right, Joe. Good hearing from you. By the way, speaking of young people, Marjorie Greene, the young people may love Marjorie Greene. I'm not sure what they think about Kamala Harris. Cut number one, Caleb.
What else do we know about this population, 18 through 24? They are stupid. That is why we put them in dormitories, and they have a resident assistant. They make really bad decisions.
So I just want to throw this out there. The Trump campaign, I know we have a lot of Trump campaign staffers that listen to the show, and they just want to see what's going on and what you people are thinking and what's what gets you guys going. I think that they should run this soundbite 24/7. Just spend whatever kind of money, hit the TikTok and the Instagram, wherever the young people are these days. The drive-ins. And just remind them of what the Democrats think about young people. 844-747-8868 is our number. ToddStearns.com is the website. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We're going to get to politics in just a minute. We have some crazy news about Kamala Harris and her family. And, wow, talk about family drama. It's like a made-for-TV special over there. So we're going to get into all of that in just a few minutes. Also, our good friend Jeff Stein from radio station KXEL sent me a note about some terrible, terrible storm damage that's happened in the nation's heartland. And it's not getting any national media coverage, and we want to shine a little bit of light on what's happening there in that area of the country. But right now I do want to go back to the Liberty University Newsmaker line, and it's sort of been a weird day because we've had these major breaking religious liberty news stories, two in California and one in Pennsylvania, Sam Rohr is with us on the Liberty University Newsmaker line from the American Pastors Network. And Sam, good to have you back with us. And I understand that you guys have a big issue with the governor of Pennsylvania. What's going on?
Well, Todd, great to be back with you. And we do have an issue here in Pennsylvania, and I'll explain it in a moment. But I'm going to say, Todd, that effectively every one of the 50 states has a similar problem, perhaps to varying degrees. Now, what am I talking about? What I'm talking about is governors, executive branches under our constitutional republic, legislative, executive, and judicial, the executive branch, the governors of the various states, in pursuant activity to the president declaring a national COVID emergency, then followed suit and declared emergencies in their various states. Now, what happened was then, at that same point, the governor declaring a natural disaster or a national or a state emergency, depending on how the state law was written, could then go proceed and suspend the laws, could suspend all of the laws to consolidate a response to the quote-unquote disaster. And in many cases, it was limited to some 30 days, some 60 days. Here in Pennsylvania, it was 90 days. It was 90 days, but the legislature had the ability to step in and to stop that action, which they did. But here's the bottom line. The governor didn't listen to them, spurned them, and said, I don't care what you told me, legislature, by the law, which they did here lawfully. He said, I'm not going to listen to it. And then is proceeded to continue to issue executive order after executive order on the whole range of all of the COVID policies that we're seeing, which in every effect, there's some limitation on people's worship, assembly, on ability to work, utilize their private property if they're a small business owner, as an example, or in fact, publicly now going to school. All of these things are being impacted, and here's the bottom line. Unlawful activity, law, effectively making law out of the executive branch. And we have said, and the Pastors Network of Pennsylvania today issued a letter, a directive, an open letter to the citizens of the Commonwealth, directed to the legislature, to the governor himself, and all beyond as we could reach, and saying, bring this unlawful activity to an end, restore the law, which I can encourage your people to go to and see what we've done. Restorethelaw.org, restorethelaw.org. is what we are saying. So I'll stop right there, but that's the bottom line. We are operating under lawlessness. We've seen it on the streets of America, but it's really been led by the top coming out of our branches of government, mostly the executive branch, and some cases aided and abetted right by the judicial branch.
So Sam, was there one specific incident? Did something happen that compelled you guys to send this letter not only to the people of the Commonwealth there, but also to the General Assembly?
Well, yes. What it is that we believe that a state, a legislature, and we think the legislature here in Pennsylvania, with the history of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, is a great state to send a message to the nation, a template, because in every one of these states, Todd, no one has been successful at rebuffing the aggressive, increasingly aggressive action of these arrogant governors who really seem to love making law out of their offices. Here in Pennsylvania, the legislature issued a concurrent resolution, which is a statement by law, sent it to the governor saying, 90 days are up. You didn't participate with us in the first place. We don't think that the basis of the declaration of disaster was actually well-founded to begin with, but certainly those things have changed, and we are ordering you, which is what the law says to do, to the governor, rescind the emergency. Instead of what the governor doing, he refused to do that, and he went back by executive order and renewed it.
You know what I find interesting here, Sam? Well, hold on just a second here, Sam. You know what I find interesting, and you mentioned something earlier about this is a nationwide issue, and it's a good point. In Wisconsin, they're making state workers wear face masks inside the privacy of their homes if they're doing these Zoom meetings. And it has absolutely nothing to do with public safety. It's about keeping up appearances. They want the state workers to set a good example. But the idea that in Wisconsin that you're required to wear a face mask in your home, in the state of Tennessee, just a few moments ago, we shared the story where parents are being forced to sign documents stating they will not be in the room while their child is learning via Zoom or virtual classes here. So you're right. I mean, this is really a nationwide issue.
Todd, it is a nationwide issue. And the reason that we as pastors are weighing in, now my background was I served in the Pennsylvania legislature for 18 years. So I personally know what the lawmaking provision is about. And I've taken my oath to support and defend the Constitution 9 times. But I'm going to wring my hat as a pastor now, saying in this matter where we are in point of confusion in this nation, we know we are, it's lawless on the streets. It's lawless, though, coming from our highest level. We're saying, what is the right question to ask? The question is not necessarily, is it 5 feet or is it 6 feet that makes the difference with social distancing? Is it a mask made of cotton or linen or who knows what? I mean, legitimately, those are all things that have answers, but we ought to be pursuing the truth. But the real matter is the mask, the distancing, the schooling, all of that are symptoms of a greater problem. The greater problem, Todd, is we need to ask the question, that is this, what's the law? And on what authority? You know, biblically, when Christ was before Pilate, that was the whole issue. Of authority. And Christ said, you can't even be doing what you're doing to me had it not come from authority from me. It comes down to authority. If we lose the authority structure of our system of government, we will become a totalitarian government. This is tyranny. When anyone in office, a governor or the courts, exceed their lawful restraint by the Constitution,
right,
by the law that binds them, then we are in tyranny. The question to ask in all of these states, Governor Newsom in California, under what authority are you closing the churches in Pennsylvania and leaving open the casinos in Nevada or wherever it may be? Under what authority, what is the law? And I'm going to submit, Todd, that if we ask that question, it'll come back to what the law actually is. The law is what it was before these governors implemented and cited their natural their declaration of emergency or whatever they call them in their various states. That is the law.
Okay.
They are operating under
okay.
the color of law, Todd. This is
got it.
This is serious.
All right, Sam, got to leave it there. Good luck to you, and let's hope other states pick up on this. And, of course, it all starts there in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, where you guys have sent a letter, an open letter, from the pastors of Pennsylvania to the citizens of Pennsylvania, as well as the members of the General Assembly. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, you'll be able to access all the information there. Sam, thank you for taking a bold stand. We'll get you back on the show soon.
Todd, thank you for standing in the gap where you are.
All right. Good guy right there, folks. And you don't want to mess with the preachers. You know, they. I'm glad to see pastors with backbones there in places like Pennsylvania and California. And sadly, you know, back in the day, a lot of the pastors with the backbones were down in the southern states. But, man, they're shutting down churches left and right below the Mason-Dixon line. Crazy stuff. Hey, real quick, by the way, it's not just Wisconsin that they're Tennessee that they're going after the kids. I want to read this from FoxNews.com. A Philadelphia public school teacher is very concerned about conservative parents listening in on virtual classes. Matthew Kay teaches English at the Science Leadership Academy, and he wrote on social media that he is concerned about the damage that helicopter parents might cause if they overhear lessons on topics such as gender and sexuality. This is a quote from the school teacher. So this fall, virtual class discussion will have many potential spectators, parents, siblings, etc., in the same room. we'll never be quite sure who is overhearing the discourse. What does this do for our equity inclusion work? Mr. Kay said, how much have students depended on the secure barriers of our physical classrooms to encourage vulnerability? How many of us have installed some version of what happens here stays here to help us? May I just say something? What the hell? What the hell is going on in that classroom? Folks, you need to be very concerned, because I suspect this is not just one classroom in Philadelphia. I suspect this is happening all over America, where you've got people like Matthew Kay teaching God knows what to the boys and girls inside his English class. Why in the world are they talking about sex and gender in an English class? They ought to be parsing participles instead of doing, well, Lord knows what. So there you go, folks. Very dangerous. And now in Tennessee, right outside of Nashville, you have a school district demanding that moms and dads sign a document stating they will not be in the classroom, they will not be in the living room while their kids are going to class, that they will not spy on their children as they're being indoctrinated. Got to tell you, homeschool your kids. I said this earlier on, and I caught holy you-know-what from about every public school teacher in America, but I still stand by it. The best thing to come out of all of this is the shutdown of the public schools. We might just have a fighting chance to save the country now that moms and dads are in charge of educating their kids. But I'm telling you, folks, you got a kid over at the English class at Science Leadership Academy, you ought to get your kid out of that class. That guy, Matthew Kay, has no business being anywhere around children. And I sure would like to know what he's telling the kids in the privacy of his classroom. All right, 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Just got a message from one of our listeners online. So, by the way, if you're driving around, maybe you don't have a local radio station that carries the show, you can always listen to us on the live stream over at toddstarnes.com. And you can also download the podcast so you can listen to us whenever you want to listen to us. So John writes in, says, hey, Todd, I'm a 27-year teacher, and I welcome parents into my classroom. If they don't want parents seeing them teach, they're likely doing something unethical. Exactly. Thank you, John. You see, we need more teachers in the classroom like John. You know, a lot of these old school teachers, they still get it. They understand what their job is. It's about educating, not indoctrinating. And if you've got a teacher, I'm telling you, we're trying to convince the mom that sent us this document out of Tennessee to come on the radio program. And we may not be able to share her name. You know, she doesn't want, you know how they are. I mean, they'll come after you. So we're talking to the mom, and we're negotiating with her to come on the show tomorrow. But this is crazy stuff. Parents, do not sign any document telling you what you can and cannot do in the privacy of your home. Don't do it. All right, let's get to the phones. Ohio, Andrew, listening to us online. Andrew, what's going on?
Yeah, thanks, Todd. Yeah, I want to talk about these aggravating Democrats. They always keep bringing up the debunked gender wage gap nonsense. And with this, they got their VP now, and it was last year, Kamala Harris, she wants to force companies to report pay data to the federal government and fine them if they don't offer equal pay. So talk about fascism. When the gender wage gap, it's been debunked millions of times, men get more hazardous pay. They account for 93% of all work fatalities. They work more hours. They're more likely to relocate. And it just goes on and on. We've debunked this a million times, and they still keep harping on this political charade, I guess you would call it.
You know, Andrew, I'd like to know something about Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. I'd like to know which one of them is responsible for putting more black men behind bars, Joe Biden or Kamala Harris.
Exactly.
That would be an interesting thing. That would be an interesting statistic for the Trump campaign to reveal. All right, Andrew, thanks for the call, and thank you for listening to us online, by the way. Seriously, I mean, when you look at her work as a prosecutor in California, and when you look at what Biden did with that god-awful crime bill, forcing everybody to go to jail, except, by the way, the predators in the Catholic Church, and Harris took a pass on that. We're going to get into that in the next hour of the program. We have a lot, folks. We've been doing a lot of opposition research on Kamala Harris. And I'm telling you, she is she's got some baggage. I mean, we're talking about serious baggage. And we're going to get to all of it. Also, her family drama. And her father is just livid because she has been disparaging the family's good name. And he's very upset over that. Not to mention her anti-Catholic bigotry. So we're going to get into more of that in the next hour. Also, Congressman Ken Buck is going to drop by. He's launching an effort to stand up and stand alongside our police officers here in America. And he's going to need our help convincing other lawmakers to get on board with this project. So we're going to talk to him as well. Also, crime news coming up. So we've got some great crime news coming up. We'll do that in the next hour of the program. And a story out of the Carolinas, where a five-year-old boy was playing with his sisters out in the front yard, and the next-door neighbor goes right up to this five-year-old child. His name is Cannon Hynett, or Hennett. The neighbor goes right up to the child, the five-year-old, puts a gun to the child's head and pulls the trigger. Executed the child, point blank. Now, the question that a lot of people are now asking is, why is this not a national news story? The killer, a black man. And I can assure you, if a white man had gone up to a five-year-old black child and blown his brains out in the front yard, it would have been wall-to-wall national news. Literally, nobody in the national media is talking about this story. Nobody. And I'd like to know why. 844-747-8868 is our phone number. Our website is toddstearns.com, and we'll be right back, folks. Stick around.